Something may make you downright mad. But I want you to look at Jonah and then check your heart. Are you flat out wrong? Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, to the best of my ability, I preach what you laid on my heart this morning. God, I pray now, Lord, in this time of invitation. This won't be a time when we run to the cafeteria, but Lord, this will be a time when we do business with you. Now, Lord, speak into hearts, change lives. Help us, Lord, to see that they're not reject me. They might get upset with me, but at the end of the day, Lord, that was your word and you wrote it, and it's not my word. What's he been doing? Just plodding along. We've had some interruptions, though. I've been doing this a while, but I've done something different. Mother's Day and graduate recognition, Father's Day, 4th of July. There's been a lot of interruptions. Otherwise, I'd have been done by now. But Jonah, it's part of a series I've been preaching. It's not a fish story. This morning, I want to preach a sermon on the subject matter of downright mad and flat out wrong. Interesting sermon title, but you watch me, is watch the text as it unfolds for us this morning. Next week's sermon title is this: Get Over It, God is Good. The sermon's prepared, and then we'll begin to take a different look, and we'll go look at some different times that Jesus took stuff. Four of those. Anyway, Jonah chapter 4, breaking in reading in verse 1. Now let's stand those. We reverence the reading of God's holy, inspired, infallible, inerrant word. The Bible says this: But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? He's starting to unfold what actually took place back in chapter 1. Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. What he's saying is exactly true. Therefore, now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. That's going to be a recurring theme to the rest of the book. He's going to ask to die several more times. Sometimes it's good you don't get what you ask for, isn't it? Then the Lord said, Is it right for you to be angry? Notice something very interesting here. Jonah doesn't answer his question. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and set it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. Father, speak to us. Help us, Lord, to rightly divide the word of truth. Your word is truth. Not my opinion, but your word. Help us, Lord, to rightly divide that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Last year, on the website of the Washington Times, there was an article written by a psychologist entitled, America is Angry. The opening line reads this way: Anger in America is booming. The citizenry is involved in shooting, knifing, bombing, fist fighting, and if nothing else, screaming and gesturing angrily at the slightest provocation. We were driving down 40 just Thursday, me and Chad Oates. I was doing 75 in a 65 miles an hour zone, and this old boy passed me, and except he didn't wave at me using all of his fingers, and he was angry. Some of you will get that on your way home. I mean, he was angry. You could just tell by the look on his face, and Chad started just waving at me real nice. And I thought, well, maybe he'd get us out of jail if he was to get in trouble, but anyway. I don't know why folks are so angry. Maybe it's a product of a generation of parents that tolerated temper tantrums and now they're growing up and graduated to road rage and court-ordered anger management classes. I really don't know. The fact is, though, when you look at the Bible, anger in and of itself is not wrong. It depends on the reason for being angry, and the emotion of anger may be completely right and actually healthy. Ephesians 4, verse 26 says, Be angry and do what? Don't sin not. So it is possible to be angry and yet not sin. Our Lord Jesus was certainly not pleased when he cracked the whip and he kicked out the money changers in the temple as they were stealing. And remember, Jesus said, You turn my house into a house of what? Thieves. Now, Jesus said they were stealing. Now, there are some things that we should be angry about too as the people of God, downright angry. When we see the shedding of innocent blood, the oppression of the poor, the carnality of a church, and that's just a few things I'll mention this morning that maybe that ought to make us angry, but that's not what the sermon's about though. There's a place for righteous indignation, certainly, and unfortunately, many times when folks get mad, it's something they have no right and even no reason to be angry about. Here in chapter 4, in this wonderful little book, we see the prophet of God. Here's the picture, though. His voice is raised, his face is red, and he's ranting to God about what God has done, and he's angry now. The Bible says he became angry, or if you read it in the narrative, it literally means he was very angry. Then God asked him a simple question in verse 4. Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah didn't answer God's question. The silence is deafening, ladies and gentlemen. God asked him a question, and Jonah knew the answer to the question, so therefore he didn't like the question, so he didn't answer the question. The answer is obviously no. Jonah was downright mad, and he was flat out wrong. Maybe this morning you're mad about something. I don't know what you're mad about. Maybe like Jonah, your temper's flared up and you feel like venting just a bit. Maybe you're just one of those particular moods today. You ever had one of those moods that you're just mad today? But and if you're not mad today, folks, Monday's coming, you know? He gets it. You know, I'm convinced on Monday and Tuesday at time the clock doesn't move. After Tuesday about midnight, though, it just zooms by to Sunday, and then on Monday and Tuesday it just creeps by. It's 48 hours, seems like it's 2 or 3 weeks, but sometimes it just works that way. Could it be that what's wrong is really not the thing that makes you mad? Instead of you being mad, what's really the problem is not your anger, it's you. I want to ask 3 questions from our text this morning. I think that they're pertinent questions if we're going to look at this entire book of the Bible, and we are, to determine if we have the right to be angry. Notice with me, first of all, in our text, is your anger due to a selfish grief? Verse 1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. The idea in the text here, if you read it in the Hebrew, it's really interesting. It was a burning anger. Now Jonah, catch this picture from chapter 1, he was a fleeing prophet. Now in chapter 4, he's a furious prophet. I mean, it's interesting to me. It makes you ask the question, why? What's he so angry about? What's got his dander up so bad? Why are you so mad for? Well, why are you so mad? What's the reason for your rage, you see? In the case of Jonah, it was due to selfishness. He was angry because of his own personal and his own petty reasons. Now, I know folks in church life never get personal. I know they never get petty. I know that doesn't happen, but just humor me for a few minutes, okay? Notice with me 2 thoughts. First of all, what it was that was so displeasing. The question is, but the Bible says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. I mean, he wasn't just upset, he was furious. You ever get that way? Probably some of you have that this way with your kids, and you're righteous, your anger was justified then, probably. Really? The answer to what's happening in verse 1 is found in verse 10 of chapter 3 when he saw that God had seen with their works and as they turned from their evil way and God relented from the disaster he said he'd bring upon them, and he did not do it. The it that Jonah was so displeased about. He was upset because God delivered Nineveh instead of destroying Nineveh. Now, there's lots of reasons that could have been he was mad about that. It could have been because he was a patriotic fellow and because of the nationalism issues And he was an Israelite, and he in Israel and the Ninevites were known, proven enemies, and he was an Assyrian. And the Assyrians and Israel to this day don't get along. That part of the world's been fighting. Maybe you've watched on television here recently. Those same folks are still fighting to this day. Modern day Iraq is ancient Babylon. Modern day Iran is ancient Persia. Those folks have hated Israel for years, and Jonah was an Israelite. Maybe that was the reason. It's possible he was angry because he didn't do what he had preached while he was there. Jonah wanted Nineveh to be judged, and after he had so boldly declared that they would be judged, and he wanted them to get what they had coming. Sometimes we're like that, aren't we? Jonah didn't get his way, and sometimes we're like that too. And we're like Jonah, and we get upset about it. Well, they didn't get what they had coming to them. They got too much grace. Now, in your science classes, and I wasn't a good student in science, but I do remember a few things. By the way, I wasn't a good student in very many classes at all. But some of you are laughing. You won't either. I mean, let's just be honest. But some folks have forgotten this. And in the center of the universe, we have the center of the universe, right? Some folks act as if they are the center of the universe and that the whole solar system revolves around them. And then something happens and they realize that they're not the center of the universe and they get all bent out of shape about it and upset and mad and make everybody around them miserable. Can I get a witness? Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, you're not the sun and you get mad when folks don't treat you that way. Think about it. The situation that you're so angry about and you're fired up about, is it really because you didn't get your way? Or is it because someone didn't do what you thought they ought to do or God didn't do what you thought he should have done? At the end of the day, Jonah's mad for selfish reasons. It's not because he's got righteous indignation. He's mad because he's a selfish prophet. By the way, he's a poor excuse for a preacher. Well, what it was that was so displeasing, that's exactly though, who it was that was so displeased. Now understand what's happened in the text. God, in his mercy, has spared a historic major metropolitan city of 120,000 people. These people have been preserved from impending doom. I mean, God was going to wipe them off the face of the earth. 120,000 people. What's strange is someone thought it was terrible and was mad about that God has spared them 120,000 people. Now, the 120,000 people, now they're not upset about it. Now, would you be upset about that? Had you been a part of the crowd that got spared, you wouldn't have been upset. Now, they took a wild guess and they said, let's see if we repent and ask God if it'll work. That's what they said in chapter 3. It did. I mean, why would they be upset about that? The text tells us that the destruction date had been stayed by the judge who had originally declared it. Why would they be angry about that turn of events? Then we think about it. God. The fact that God has sighed with mercy, the fact, the sight of their pitiful state, that he was not angry about this turn of events, the fact that God delights in mercy and he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the God we're talking about. God's not angry about this. God's not upset that he didn't get to judge those folks. God's not mad because he didn't get to cast them folks into hell. God's not at all like that. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not the God of the Bible at all. The Bible says that God gave his best, his own dear son for us, not to have to spend eternity in heaven, hell. Why would he be excited when folks do go there? He's not upset. Bottom line was, Jonah said, I'd rather these folks die and go to hell than go to preach to these people. Amen. That's what he said. Now, so just who is mad? if the Ninevites aren't mad and God's not mad, Jonah's the lone person angry in the text. You ever see that happen sometimes in church life? The fact is that he's the only one peeved among thousands, including the God of heaven. It's an indication his anger was due to a selfish grief. In Acts chapter 19, there's a fascinating story. The Apostle Paul and his mission team were performing miracles. You remember the story? I mean, the power of God fell in the city of Ephesus and folks were coming to know Jesus. And it was just amazing what God was doing. But then there was a fellow by the name of Demetrius there. Well, he heard about all the healings and the religious awakening in this town, and he wasn't really happy about it because he made a living off selling silver idols. Now, all these new Christians wasn't in the market for these old idols. They found the true and the living God, so why would they buy an idol anymore? He wasn't upset because good things have happened. He'd upset because of his own selfish greed, and he wasn't going to make any money anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, could it be that if you find that you're the only one with folded arms, you're like the prodigal son's elder brother. You're the only person with the problem. Everybody else happy. At the end of the day, if only God had been happy, it would have been all right, wouldn't it? God was happy with what he did. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you that maybe, just maybe, if you found yourself with folded arms and a furrowed brow, surrounded by a host of folks who are grateful and celebrating, it could be that your anger is really about your own selfish grief. It has nothing to do with God at all. Just saying. Well, I didn't figure you'd be shouting through that part of the sermon, but let's go to the second part, see if you like it any better. Is your anger directed at a sovereign God? Is your anger directed at a sovereign God? John Calvin said of Jonah's response here in the text, at the beginning of chapter 4, he says, "This is monstrous." That is not only because of why Jonah was angry, but also because who caught the brunt of Jonah's anger. Years ago, there was a great American preacher and a theologian. His name was Jonathan Edwards. He preached around Boston and up in that part of the country before that part of the country went crazy. And he preached a famous sermon that was entitled "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." One writer says this about the scene at the beginning of chapter 4. Could it be called God in the Hands of an Angry Sinner? Jonah's real frustration was directed at God. He was really upset with God. This morning, do we really know if we have the right to be angry? And the idea is sometimes, or if we're really angry with God. I want you to pay attention here closely to what Jonah said in his anger to the Lord. First of all, notice with me, God's anger is already revealed. In verse 2. Excuse me, God's character is already revealed. Verse 2. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Our Lord." Lord's capitalized there, you'll notice, and that means it's Yahweh, the God of heaven he's talking about. "Was not this what I said when I was still in my country?" Is this not what we talked about a few months ago, weeks ago? "Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and a merciful God," big G, "slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm." We see why Jonah ran in the first place. He confesses that about what he did. But what's really fascinating, when you read the text closely, he's not confessing sin at all. He's blaming God. The amazing thing about Jonah's theology is what he knows about God is right. And that's the way that God describes throughout the Bible. A gracious and a merciful God. He's slow to anger and he's abundant in loving kindness. One who relents from doing harm. That describes the God of the Bible perfectly. Jonah's theology is good. Jonah's theology is good, right? I mean, and so what's happening is just a fascinating thing. Now, he says, I know you're a gracious God. You're merciful. You're slow to anger and great of great kindness. I knew you were likely to withhold judgment. I knew if I went and preached to those folks, this is what you do. That's what he's saying. He's exactly right, but what's amazing is he's not happy about these divine attributes of God. You know what? I want you to hear me this morning. He's mad at God for well-being. God. He's mad at God for doing what God does. Isn't that crazy? I've heard people say they are mad at God. I remember one night we were at Lowe's and we were talking to a young lady about the Lord. And she said, well, preacher, I'm just mad at God right now. I thought, you don't even know God. That's a different issue altogether, isn't it? Really, I mean, if you don't know God, how can you really be mad at Him? You know why this is a big deal here? Jonah's a prophet and a preacher and an Israelite. He knows the God of heaven. He knows God, and yet he's still making foolish statements like this about the God he serves. He knows God, and he doesn't like what he knows about God. Did you hear what I said? For instance, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said sometimes we're going to have trouble, and sometimes we're mad about God because something he's told us already. For instance, Jesus said, in this world we're going to have tribulation, and yet you're irritated with God right now because you're going through a difficult time. Why would you be irritated about something he already told you you're going to do? The Bible tells us that God's going to test our faith in order to do that, to teach us and to trust Him. The book of James tells us that when we are tested and tried like that, to count it as all what? Pure joy. I didn't write it. It's what it says. Maybe you're angry this morning because God's thinned out things financially just a little bit for you. He's cut some of your supply and your life's maybe a bit more uncomfortable, but in order to make you lean upon Him more. Many of us here this morning are like Jonah. We know good and well who God is and what He can and what He will do. God's character is revealed throughout Scripture. But right now, some folks don't like what God's doing in your life. You're angry about it. When Jonah reveals his anger at God, he reveals to us and he reminds to us about the character of God and how the character of God is revealed. And by the way, God's character is good. Well, God's character is already revealed. But I see secondly that God's conduct is always right. I want you to listen to what a man by the name of Russ Reeves said about this text. He writes, Jonah acts as if he knows better what should be done with Nineveh than God does, thus misunderstanding God's sovereignty. Jonah's complaint amounts to something like this: oh God, you blew it. Oh God, you should have listened to me. If you just let me run the universe for a day or two, I could really show you how it's done. Jonah looked down at all the fasting and the sad and the sackcloth covered folks in Nineveh, and he knew that God would spare them. He knew that God was gracious like that. He knew God loved mercy. He knew that all of that. But here's what's interesting. He still felt that God was wrong to do it. Who are you or I to tell God that He's wrong to do what He does? You don't have the right to tell God He's wrong when He doesn't. God's right. The sovereignty of God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that God can do anything He wants to, anytime He wants to do it. Jonah is basically impugning the character of God, and he's openly questioning the acts of God. That's a pretty brash thing to do, wouldn't you say? But now let me just stop you before you get to think too bad about Jonah. You ever done it yourself? You ever had a turn of events that caused you to question the mind of God? Ever lost a job? Ever not got the promotion you thought you deserved or wanted? And you said in response, Lord, what's up with that? You ever stood over a coffin of a loved one and your grief and your hurt, you said under your breath, God, not him. Not her. God, why now? Ladies and gentlemen, I can't answer any of those questions, but I'm telling you this, whatever God does is right. The reality is, listen to me now, hear what I'm saying to you. That if our God we serve is completely holy without sin, and he is. And at the same time, totally sovereign, and he is. In absolute control, that means he is too good to be cruel and too wise to make a mistake. Did you hear what I said? He's too good to be cruel. And he's too wise to make a mistake. We're talking about the God we serve. We're not talking about the pastor. Just because you don't understand God's ways, or even worse, you don't like them, doesn't mean they're wrong. You have no right to be angry with God. Jonah's upset with the sovereign God of the universe. Jonah's upset with the God who doesn't make mistakes. Folks, he's working in our lives for our good and his glory. That's what he's doing. Well, yeah, I didn't really like the second part of the sermon either, so let me try the third part. I'm picking. Is your anger due to a selfish grief, number one? Is your anger directed at a sovereign God? Number three, is your anger developing into a sinful gripe? You ever had anybody gripe? It was a question. Some of y'all ain't like y'all know what I'm talking about. Jonah said to the Lord, I knew you'd do it. I knew you'd cave in when they repented. I just knew it. His prayer time has turned into a griping session. You remember the Bible says in Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. Jonah had clearly crossed the line of being angry to actively sinning. Has he not? Has he not? I mean, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about, I want you to hear what I'm telling you. You're talking about a man who's been called of God to be a prophet of God. An Israelite. His genealogy traces back to Moses, back to when God had worked. And if you go even further back, to a man by the name of Abraham. We're talking about that genealogy. You're talking about somebody who knows better than do this stuff. We'd say he'd been brought to church his whole life. He grew up in the church. How do you know when you cross that line? How do you know when your temper turns into a tantrum? You ever seen folks like that? Or your irritation and iniquity? I think you can know two ways. Number one, first of all, when you ask foolishly, verse 3. it gets to be a little bit comic relief. This is going to be an ongoing theme through the rest of the book, verse 3 is. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. What a foolish request. Do you really think Jonah wanted to die here? Nah. Now, think about this. This man has survived a typhoon in a boat. Yes. 3 days in the belly of a fish. Do you really want to believe he wants God to just simply reach down from heaven and hit him upside the head and kill him? I mean, Now, the text doesn't say this, but in my opinion, I think it'd be helpful to us. I think what was happening here is Jonah wanted God to feel as bad for him as he felt bad for himself. He didn't want God to kill him, and thankfully God didn't. The fact is, God could have killed him. The story could have ended this way with that request. Lord, kill me. Then the next verse could have read, so the Lord struck the prophet dead as he had requested. The end. It could have, couldn't it? You know what happens though? God's wise enough to see through a foolish request. when he hears one. God knows what this prayer is all about. This isn't about what's right. This is just foolishness. Let me ask you a few questions this morning. I'm just probing a little bit. I really don't know. Have you ever said something like that, done like that to God? Maybe you said it this way. Lord, if this doesn't change, I can't go on anymore. Or something like this. Lord, if you don't do this for me, I just don't know what I'll do. Some of you looking at all pious and holy. I know some of you. I've heard you pray. The New Testament books of James speaks of praying amiss. The idea is asking for the wrong things in the wrong ways. When we start saying things like that, we no better say to God that we're headed for a sinful gripe. When you ask foolishly, but that's exactly that when you ask childishly. Y'all ever met anybody as childish? Your pastor at times is childish. And if you're honest, you are too. Then the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? No response. He didn't answer God. Why not? Folks, when God speaks, do you think God's right or do you think Jonah's right? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and set it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. Sure you won't be this upset, Jonah? Then the Bible says he goes out and sits under the shelter. I want you to pay attention to that word shelter here in the text. It's interesting. He marched out of the city like a kid that didn't get his way. He's taking his ball and toys and going to go home. I didn't get my way, so therefore I'm going to just pout like a youngin. He found himself a good vantage point there. He built himself a shelter. I'm not making this stuff up. That's what it says. That's just what any shelter does. The same word we find in other places in the Old Testament where it was the Feast of the Tabernacles. This is fascinating to me when I begin to read about this. Every year at a certain time on the calendar, the children of Israel were commanded to make themselves a tabernacle, a little shelter, just like Jonah did, and spend a few days living in that shelter. They were to do that in commemoration of the years of their forefathers spent in tents and temporary tabernacles before the Lord finally brought them to the promised land. By the way, I don't care what modern media says, this is not in the notes, this is free. The land in question they're fighting about in Israel is the land that God gave Israel. The current president was wrong, the last president was wrong about that. I'm telling you that God gave the people of Israel that land. But the Lord brought them there. But here's the thing. The Feast of Booths, though, was a festival. It was supposed to be a celebration. It was supposed to be a celebration or a time of joy about what God had done years past. They would live there for that time of that tabernacle, Feast of the Tabernacles, so they would celebrate what God had done in all those years, bringing them to the promised land. Do you not see? Jonah is taking something that God made to be good. He's making it bad. Not like a kid. He's a grown-up acting like a baby. He's whining and sulking and surveying the scene of a divine blessing with his arms folded and his lips pooched out. If you can't get that out of that text, something's wrong with what you're reading there. Sad reality is we've seen folks come to the houses of God where they're supposed to rejoice and celebrate the grace of God. And sit there with their teeth gritted, their eyes squinted and pouted because things just weren't like they wanted. Hey, I said this a few weeks ago. If we sing a song you don't like, just do what I do. I just go to my happy place. For that time, I just go to my happy place for just a few minutes. I sit right there I sit beside Cynthia this morning. I just sit there and I'll smile. You don't hear me get up behind them and insult them or do anything. I just don't do that. If it's something I really like, that's great too. But either way, it may not help me, but it might help you that day. I'm serious. I approve the order of services, but I very, very, very rarely change songs. Folks, it's not about me. And it's not even about you. It's all about Him. It's a tough truth, but I want you to listen to it. No one, least of all God, is impressed with an infantile display like that. They're not. Nobody wants to be near your little booth of despair and hear your sinful griping. Nobody. Least of all the pastor. Well, I said all that to say this. We've seen Jonah at his worst in this little book that's carried his name. Now let's contrast him just a little bit with Jesus in the New Testament. And I'm going to close. Jesus came down from heaven literally to dwell in tabernacles among us. Though we were all condemned to die, He did not long for, nor did He look for our judgment. He came to be our judgment. That's a good word, Gal. Jesus came not to condemn the world, but through the world, through Him, might be what? Saved. That world came to a despise, He came to despised Him, rejected Him, mocked Him, beat Him, and even nailed Him to a cross. If anyone had the right to be angry with those folks around Him, Jesus did. Do you ever hear it read anywhere in the Bible Jesus is whining about us living? The fact of the matter is, if we all got our just desserts, we'd have died and went to hell, and so would have Jonah. But instead, we see Him crying from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He had every right to be angry, didn't He? But you and I, on the other hand, forgiven, pardoned by His grace, have no reason to be angry when we don't get our way. We have no reason to rant ever to God. We have no reason to ever gripe or pout in His holy presence.